Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotion. This is episode 295, which means at the end of next week we hit 300, which is pretty exciting. We're going to be turning through to Romans again, turning through to Romans chapter 8. But before we read our passage, I will pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the end of another week of devotions. Thank you for the way that you've been with us. And as we've turned to your word, we've been fed in different ways. We pray that as we turn again, that you would give us fresh insights, that you would help us to see marvelous things in your law. God, would you guide us by your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would bear light upon the word, that we might be fed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through to 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. How you think about yourself really, really matters. Psychologists know this, and so psychologists will tell you if you want to be successful at losing weight, one of the best things you can do is start thinking about yourself as a thin person or as a person who doesn't eat much. Or if you want to quit smoking, what you need to do is start believing and thinking that you're actually a person that doesn't smoke. And if you want to give up drinking, you need to start thinking and believing and referring to yourself as a person who doesn't drink. You see, the problem is the way we think about ourselves, the way we believe ourselves, actually controls the actions that we take. So if you actually believe that you're a thin person, if you actually believe you're not a person that eats much, you're going to say no to things. And so it's very interesting what happens when people try to lose weight. When they're obese, they believe they're a fat person. And psychologists reckon that it takes a long time for them to get to the point where they start actually believing they're no longer a fat person. Even after they've lost all of their weight, they will continue to think of themselves as an obese person. And it's not until they transition within their mind to think of themselves as a healthy person who doesn't overeat that food no longer controls them. We see the same thing with smoking. So I was a smoker when I was a teenager. I smoked from the age of about 13 through till the age, I think about 19 when my first child, when Josella, my wife, was pregnant with our first baby. So at that point, I decided to give up smoking. And very quickly, it was quite interesting. I'm not sure why, but for me, very, very quickly, I no longer thought about myself as a smoker. I considered myself an ex-smoker almost instantaneously. I made the conscious decision that I would no longer be a smoker. I didn't make the decision that I wouldn't smoke anymore. You know, that I'm still a smoker, but I don't smoke at the moment because my wife's pregnant. No, I made the decision I am no longer a smoker of cigarettes. And the difference was huge. In fact, to be totally honest, I did not really struggle with giving up smoking. Maybe it's just nostalgia and a view now that doesn't remember how brutal it was. I don't know. But I can't remember particularly struggling with it. And my wife actually went through the same thing. And it's interesting, the way you think about yourself hugely impacts, and you might be thinking to yourself, is this just a psychological lecture on thinking about yourself? No, it's not. But it does have a huge bearing on this passage. Because the way we think about ourselves as Christians hugely impacts how we live our life. And so Paul says, he sort of gives us three pictures of the way we think about ourselves. And that's going to massively change how we live our lives. So firstly, in verse 12, he says, we're not debtors. So then, brothers, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. He says, you don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe your sinful self anything. What's a debtor? A debtor is someone who's taken out a loan and now owes someone money. He says, you are not a debtor to your old self. You don't owe your sinful nature anything. So why are you paying it? That's the implication, isn't it? You don't owe your sinful nature anything. So why do you keep giving it stuff? Why do you keep serving it as though it was your master when you don't owe it anything? You see, if we keep constantly thinking of ourselves as being mastered by sin, guess what we're going to do? We're going to bow down to the master and obey it. But that's not who we are. No. Verse 14. We all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You see, we're not slaves to our former self. We are no longer mastered by sin nor controlled by the flesh. We're no longer debtors to that because the spirit of adoption, has made us sons of God. So when we live out our life, as we go to make decisions, as we go to think about what career we might do, or as we go to follow Christ into our workplace, or as we seek to live out gospel-centered family life, or as we go to church on a Sunday, all of those things are controlled not by master sin, but by our Father. By our Father in heaven. For we are no longer debtors to sin and flesh, but we are sons of God. And so we live as becomes children. And I think I've said this here probably many times before, but often I used to say to my children when they were little, I would say to them, that's not how Hargorts act. That's not how Hargorts act. Hargorts act in this way, and you're a Hargort. It's got nothing to do with whether it makes you a Hargort or not. You can't make yourself a Hargort. But this is how Hargorts live. Hargorts live this way. And so live that way. Live that way. And so the great question at that point then is, if we're a son and daughter of God, will we live as becomes sons and daughters of God? But then also Paul gives a third illustration, We are no longer debtors. We are sons and daughters of God. But then we are also heirs. Have a look at verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. Now, I said sons and daughters of God. But you notice it doesn't say that in the text, does it? It says sons of God. Now, I do want to mention this. And I know for most of us this is very straightforward. But I know there's some young Christians who tune into this daily devotion. And so I want to help you understand as well. You'll notice in the footnote, if you see the number at verse 12, it says brothers and has a 5. And in verse 14, it says sons with a 6. So in number 5... it says, brothers and sisters. And then at 6, it says, see discussion on sons in the preface. So you can turn to the preface of your ESV and it will explain what's meant by that. See, it's very, very important that you understand why brothers and why sons is used. Now, we know sons is often used just as a corporate noun, sort of used as sons and daughters. But why does Paul say sons? Why doesn't Paul say sons and daughters? Well, you have to remember that at the time that Paul is writing, if you're a daughter, you don't get an inheritance. I hope you love the recorder playing in the background, by the way. It's stunning. Anyway, why does he only use sons? Because the son gets the inheritance. The daughter doesn't. You see, the daughter's going to get married off, and she's going to receive the inheritance through her new husband, through her new family. But your son receives the inheritance. So I've got four children, one boy, and only my son would get the inheritance. And so if I was going to bless someone, I wouldn't call them my daughter. I would say, no, you're my son, and you're going to receive my inheritance. And that's Paul's point here when he's talking about heirs. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. You see, what we need to do when we think about ourselves is realize that it's not just that we're part of God's family like some begrudging adopted children. You know, those terrible movies you see where adopted children are mistreated and there's the horrible mother that looks after the house or whatever. It's not like that. We are beloved sons who are receiving an inheritance in Christ. So why, my dear friends, why would we turn to sin and flesh and the world, which has no inheritance for us? God is giving us an immensely rich inheritance in Christ. Why would we turn to sin, which offers us nothing? Why would we make ourselves spiritual paupers indebted to sin, flesh, and the devil when we can be heirs receiving an inheritance in Christ? It makes no sense, does it? But that's what we do because we think about ourselves as debtors. We think about ourselves as servants of sin. We think about ourselves as spiritual paupers rather than sons of the King and heirs with Christ. So think about what it means for you to be an heir with Christ. Christ, who receives all glory, all honor, all praise, is worthy. He says, "You are my fellow heir." We share in the inheritance of the Son of God. Is that not an immense truth for us to feed upon? You see, when sin rears its head in our life, what we need to do is stare it down and say, "No, I have a rich inheritance. You don't have anything to offer me." When the devil tempts us to despair, we tell him of what? The upwards call that we have waiting for us there. When the world offers us all of its tantalizing desires, when, like Edmund, we're offered the Turkish delight in snowy Narnia, we can stare the white witch down and say, "I'm an heir of Christ. You don't have anything to offer me." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would help us to think about ourselves as we should, and that from that would flow faithfulness, love, obedience, godliness. Thank you for the work of Christ. Thank you for the work of the Spirit. And thank you for your work, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week. Have a most blessed Sunday.